This is Jason Q. Citizen and Friends on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hello and welcome to the Jason Q. Citizen and Friends program. It's great to be with you. It's great to be alive. And the challenges, of course, never ever falter as we battle the insanity that is the world today. So much is going on, and I think the Donald Trump story is the biggest story of the year. I think Donald Trump is probably the story of the century, whichever way you look at it, in terms of the way that a businessman can get himself elected to the office of the presidency of the United States and cause such a stir. It is impossible not to notice what he's doing, what he's done, what he's been able to do, and how the system works against anyone who opposes the system. For mine, it has revealed a lot more than just an establishment and those who are anti-establishment. It has revealed the fact that the world wishes for all of us to develop a hive mind, to give away our free will and to simply comply and be ruled over. One of the most disturbing characters in this great play is that of Anthony Fauci. Just this week, he was out being booed at a baseball game for the opening pitch between the New York Yankees and Seattle. And who would think that a medical administrator would be someone that would be sent to open a baseball match, if you can believe that, after 3 years of introducing every restriction on our freedoms, and somehow after 3 years, Americans are meant to go and cheer this nut job, this clown. What's worse is now we live in a world where wokeism has gone so far that comedians like Terry Gilliam are being cancelled, and Anthony Fauci is the one making the jokes. I'd like to play a short clip here. This is Anthony Fauci joking that he created WA1, the ancestral bit, the ancestral model, I should say, strain of the COVID virus WA1 in gain of function. He is at a recent speech where he was interviewed, and this is what he said.
Center of the initial outbreak, WA1, Washington 1, is considered the ancestral model strain.
I developed the ancestral model strain. I created it.
That's right. You let it loose.
I was in my kitchen.
You let it loose. Yeah. Okay. Gain of function. Here we come. You were here making arancia, Italian meatballs, and that's a gain of function. All right.
Can you believe that is what we have to put up with in 2022, that the medical administrator who's been in the job for 40 years is out there making jokes and keeping his celebrity status alive? Meanwhile, Terry Gilliam is cancelled at the Old Vic, one of London's great old theatres, because he decides to make jokes that says that he is a black lesbian woman in transition. People take offence, and he asks why. I mean, the comedians can't be comedians anymore, but the medical administrators, of course, well, they know what they have to do. And in a further act of comedy or adding insult to injury, the two biggest suspects in corruption on earth, Joe and Hunter Biden, today walked up the stairs of Air Force One to take a vacation together in South Carolina, the day after Donald Trump is raided, and somehow the FBI decides that it's okay for them to go through Melania's closet of clothing and that nobody is allowed to be let in whilst they do this unprecedented raid on Trump's home looking for documents so that the New York district attorney can seek political revenge and, of course, have her status elevated in this country so that she can potentially be yet another elected official that all of us must be ruled over and by. As Eric Trump said, this is just more political persecution of Donald J. Trump. Did you know that there are many ways that you can listen to TNT Radio? Why not stream us direct from our website on your desktop, tablet, or mobile device, or download our app from the App Store? We even stream live on YouTube, Rumble, and Odyssey. We've got you covered on TNT Radio.
Your trusted news source.
Something you just can't question.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Catherine Franklin is both a PR and journalist to the stars. She is a wonderful commentator and no doubt will be serving more time in Facebook jail, probably as a result of this interview, but more than likely she did that all by herself. Catherine, welcome to the show.
Guilty as charged. I think I've got another 28 days, so, you know, you're in the clear. It wasn't this interview. However, maybe they can ban me for longer. So, you know, let's try it. I'm going to shoot for that. Shoot for the stars. Let's see how far I can go.
It certainly means that you're in good company. I mean, yesterday I had a 23-year Australian federal police officer on the program, and his number one complaint was that he consistently gets banned on Facebook. And all the evidence that he talked about and discussed is all proven. It's all out there. It's the same evidence that many of us who have been following this for so long have presented and, of course, got the battle scars to show it. But when a police officer whose specialty is investigation and being a detective is being taken down off Facebook for sharing misinformation, you know that we are well past 1984 and we're headed to New Year's Eve of 1985 in the nightmare that is George Orwell's fiction that is becoming a reality.
It really is. It is absolutely insane. And who are these people that deem that you have posted misinformation? Most of the time I've been banned, and there's been a lot of times, Jason, let's face it, I spend more time being banned than I do being on the platform. But, you know, half of the time it's been through just posting medical journals or, you know, mainstream news articles with no comment. So I don't know what... who's doing this and under what grounds, but you've got, as you know, you've got no recourse to fight it. You just have to cop it on the chin. And I've been my entire account's been deleted 4 times. I'm on my 5th account. I just keep changing my name.
Isn't it crazy that this is where we have to play today in this space? It's like my I received a notification this week from YouTube that they decided that a video report I made on the statistics from 11 months ago breached their community standards, which basically means that I showed the World Health Organization up, because when you actually look at YouTube's community standards, it says that you cannot say anything that contravenes what the World Health Organization says. So in a video I did about a year ago, on completely separately, I took two definitions off the World Health Organization that had been changed, and I asked in the video which one was appropriate. And therefore, that gave them perfect excuse to take the video down, because it contravened the World Health Organization, yet it didn't.
It only contravened themselves.
That's right. But that was okay. But I had to point that one out.
Oh, my brain hurts. Please. I can't take it anymore.
It is too much, isn't it?
Can't get any crazier. You know, it gets crazier. When I heard the news about Mar-a-Lago being raided, I was absolutely gobsmacked. Absolutely. I couldn't believe it. I rang up my mate Joe, a lawyer friend of mine, or he called me. I think he might have called me. And we were just absolutely speechless.
Yep. Yes. You kind of knew that something like this was always going to be played at, but you didn't know when or why. But for something that seems to be so trivial, like there's been so much speculation about what they were looking for, the fact that the FBI and the Department of Justice refuses to say or give any information, and already Trump is being deposed, in which he's taken the Fifth Amendment, meaning that he's not going to speak. And this is what we're trying to work out, is what exactly are they looking at? Are they looking at 15 boxes of documents that were classified? Were they looking at 15 boxes of documents that were related to January 6th? Were they looking at something completely differently? For mine, I'm wondering if in the safe they opened it up and they found Putin's soccer ball and Obama's birth certificate, and perhaps they found Hillary's 33,000 emails and perhaps even Hunter Biden's laptop. That might have been the reason that they went in there, given that if they were holding it, I'm certain they would have lost them by now.
Mm. Or maybe they just wanted to raid Melania's closet.
Well, we've already had reports, of course, that this is the case.
Can you believe that? But you know what? I think that one of the reasons that they haven't sort of disclosed what they're looking for and under what you know, representation they've gone in there is because they're just trying to find something, aren't they? They just need to get some dirt on him because they just don't want him running again. They're absolutely terrified of that man.
Yes, exactly right. And this is where it gets really interesting, because even the precedent that they're trying to use to hang him over the idea that if he's done something wrong, then he's disqualified for running for office, the idea of holding classified information, given that he was the president and could declassify anything that he wanted to at the president's own pleasure, it kind of defeats the whole purpose. And if it's a technicality, well, you should have done it, but you didn't, even if they can find it. The point was that James Comey set the precedent some 6 years ago in 2016, when that massive inquiry was into Hillary and her emails, and Comey walked out and read straight and looked straight down the barrel of the camera and said, there were 21 email chains where there was classified information, but there was no intent, and therefore we're dropping any sort of further investigation. We're not recommending charges to the Department of Justice. The problem with that was that there was no need for intent in the thing. He just invented intent and then let her go and said, we're not going to press charges. So even the same thing, if Trump has no intent, Comey's already set the standard. How can they possibly charge one and not the other? And so it's totally hypocritical.
Absolutely it is. I mean, and if you think about, I mean, Hillary completely, she destroyed the evidence, you know, after they served her with a warrant to present it. She literally destroyed it. It's almost like the Democrats have different rules for them, like the law doesn't apply to them at all.
Well, this is what we're learning, isn't it? And it's kind of obvious, but the hypocrisy in front of people, it's almost like they know that their support base will never doubt them. They know that their support base is always there. And now they just like, well, we really don't care about what you guys think. We're just going to do it. And we are going to rub insult into injury. One wonders, of course, if you reverse the roles. Imagine if it was Trump's presidency, Obama had been raided, and then Trump and Don Jr. and Eric and Ivanka got onto an airplane, onto Air Force One, and took off for a holiday, what the world would be saying. And of course, we have had tastes of that in the past, and yet no one seems to care. So who's guilty here? Is it the general public for being so biased, or is it and being so ignorant? Is the general public now to blame, perhaps, for wearing this and realizing that they are the ones that they're going to be coming for next?
Well, I think that, you know, as we always speak of when we have our little tete-a-tetes between us, the media have a lot to, you know, answer for in that respect. I mean, basically, most people don't think, and they automatically revert to the media to find out what opinion they should have. And whatever that popular opinion is what they adopt. And then, you know, when they are, you know, seen to be incorrect, the weirdest thing is that they double down, even though they know they're wrong and it's all incorrect and they've been shown up, you know, and that's been the case with, you know, the Russian collusion. I mean, they haven't been able to pin anything on Trump. Like, not one thing has stuck. Of all of the, you know, attacks that man has had, they haven't been able to pin him with one thing. And then you've got, you know, Hunter Biden with the laptop that is the most damning. You've got evidence of him, you know, colluding with the Ukraine. You've got him, I mean, the photographs of him with, you know, younger girls and smoking crack. But the media doesn't talk about it, so apparently that doesn't exist. Can you imagine if that was one of Donald Trump's sons? The world would lose their minds. But because the media hasn't spoken about it, the general public, it just doesn't exist to them in some weird paradigm. But to answer your question, yes, the general public are to blame. And they are stupid. I hate to say this, but most people are stupid, and they just want to believe what they want to believe that allows them to maintain them living in this bubble, that the world is just as they see it, not as it is.
Yeah. And this is a scary thing, isn't it? Because there are ramifications for what we're doing to ourselves here through our compliance, given that we've given up our right to medical autonomy and trusting in a higher power, so to speak, that being, you know, authority. And so you have to pay a price for that at some stage when you give up self-determination. And that's what I find the most frustrating. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I just want to continue on this thought, because I now want to move into the idea that maybe the popularity that the polls are giving away a different idea of what's going on in the background. And perhaps that may be an indication that the people are starting to pay attention, but are doing it in new ways. That is, seems to be the new silent way of expressing approval and also disapproval. You're listening to TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Jeremy Nell.
My worldview tends to be around a set of core values. And in many ways, the postmodern cultural Marxist way of approaching things is to disrupt core values. In other words, nothing means anything anymore. Question everything. You can have 546 genders. White people are evil. Black people can't be racist. And so on and so forth. The entire fabric of reality gets destroyed if you allow too much liberal thinking.
Jeremy Nell and Germ Warfare on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
I view Al Sharpton as a poverty pimp.
Terrorism from white supremacy is the most lethal threat to the homeland.
I walk outside every day in fear of white supremacy right here in the middle of the hood. Okay, yeah, right.
My grandparents had a cross burned on their property. We were slaves in the past. We're free now.
I never seen a white supremacist in my life. Never, and they can't point to one. Where the hell are they? I wish somebody would introduce me to a white supremacist. I would like to talk to them and take pictures with them, because I never seen one in my life.
Biden says that the country is systematically racist. You know, I almost want to look at him and say, haven't you been the system for the last 50 years?
He's the one that sponsored the 1994 crime bill, which unequivocally basically targeted black men in black neighborhoods.
The polarization, the left versus right, the black versus white.
Pro-choice against pro-life.
I work for Black Lives Matter. I'm sorry that I scared you.
People have had to make it like they're apologizing for their whiteness.
And could you just please apologize for, you know, for your white privilege?
What's more disheartening to me is that those who are within the black community are allowing for that to take place.
So really what we're dealing with is a cultural Marxism that Joe Biden and all the rest from the left are trying to inculcate into our society.
Well, you were once the oppressor, so now I must be the oppressor. You don't avenge evil for evil.
It's okay to say disparaging things against white people. Our former president, Barack Obama, said it, you know, about old white men are a problem. Except when it comes time for him to fly around on their airplanes and ride around on their yachts, or be their next door neighbors, or endorse them for president like Joe Biden, then old white men are okay. This is their last gasp.
What do progressive socialists really want?
Watch Systematic Deception at SalemNow.com.
The radio station everyone is talking about, TNT, where the longer you listen, the more reasons you find to keep listening.
Keep listening.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the Jason Q Citizen and Friends program. I'm here with Catherine Franklin, and we are discussing the Trump raid, and we're just going to stretch out a little bit here. And Judge Bruce Reinhardt, who was reportedly the most likely judge behind the warrant authorizing a raid on former President Trump's estate, is a former attorney who represented employees of convicted sex offender and notorious pedophile Jeffrey Epstein.
Now, what a surprise, huh? What a surprise.
It's so obvious. Now, the real question behind it is, and this is something that I haven't seen anyone sort of looking into yet, and could it be that this is a warning shot to Trump to stay away, given the amount of interest now, given that Maxwell has been sentenced, that's Ghislaine Maxwell, the former partner of Epstein, and no one found out a single client to all these women that she's said to have trafficked. Could this be the way that they play dirty in these parts, or is it just a coincidence, or is it just that everyone just has it in for Trump and this is just the way to play it? I just think there's, wherever there's smoke in this stuff, there's fire. And I just wonder that maybe this is just how they play dirty. What do you think?
Well, it just seems very odd, doesn't it? It's like, why would they shoot themselves in the foot by raiding Mar-a-Lago? I mean, you have to be justified to basically raid anybody's place, whether you're the next president of the United States or if you're Joe Blow. I mean, as I read somewhere today, I mean, they're not necessarily coming after just Trump. This is a warning shot for anybody that the FBI can do whatever they want without, you know, any probable cause. They have to show probable cause, and they really haven't. And as, you know, you've rightfully said earlier, you know, it's more or less like, let's just, you know, cast the net and see what we can find and say maybe potentially later on, well, this is what we were looking for, but they never really were looking for anything. They just wanted to find something on him. But, you know, what does my head in is that if this was actually, you know, something that was orchestrated by the deep state, and that this Reinhardt was, you know, in the mix and agreeing to it, I mean, he's really done himself a disservice, hasn't he? Because everybody, I mean, the guy's donated to Obama, the Obama campaign prior, which, you know,
two donations,
he's leaning, he's donated. And he's represented, as you've just mentioned, a bunch of Epstein's employees, you know, in a court of law. So I don't understand why they would do it. It's sort of almost like a mind bender, isn't it? Like, what isn't a mind bender nowadays, though?
Well, this is what's so frightening about it, isn't it? Because you don't know if they've done it it's just a normal process, or if they've been called out, or they've been asked to do a favour, or if this is how the game is played. Because no one can understand why power. Well, no one in the mainstream, the average world, understands why people in power can be so compliant and so hive-minded. And yet when you see how the machinations work in the background, the Epstein story is probably the biggest crime story of the century, in that you see how it weaves and how it works. And just the very basic fundamentals behind it, the very fact that he had one client as a hedge fund manager, his official job title, and that was Les Wexner, the owner of Victoria's Secret, who provided him with $1 billion, $1,000 million in a fund, and Epstein goes out there and he's meant to manage the fund. Ironically, with that money at the time of his death, he was worth $300 or $400 million. So he obviously spent that money, and it was counted as his own wealth. And of course, the other great story in that from Wexner was that he sold that 7-story townhouse that we saw Catherine Keating walk out of, the one that we saw Prince Andrew in and out of. He sold it to Epstein for a single dollar.
Well, he was waving to her, wasn't he? I mean, Prince Andrew was literally waving her goodbye.
That's it. And and this is the house that he bought for a single dollar.
Unbelievable. And yet the most normies wouldn't know half of this stuff, and yet it's something that can be – it's an easy Google search. It's not a conspiracy theory. This stuff's real. You know, but this raid, it was just illegal. It was immoral. I mean, it's illegitimate. The whole thing is just, and where the bloody hell's Biden gone with Hunter? Back to the basement. They're gone back to base.
Well, they're going to have a holiday in South Carolina, of all places. Like, that's what you do after you just had a week in Delaware on the beach. Old Biden, he's got to have another break. And that's what you do leading up to the midterms, which are not even 3 months away, where what seems to be should be the biggest landslide in history. But of course, no Republican can believe anything until the results come through, because they simply just don't trust the system anymore. So they don't trust the FBI, they don't trust the Department of Justice, they don't trust the electoral system, and they're being expected to still play by these ridiculous rules, as we see people like Epstein front and center yet again. And of course, Bill Gates with the tie-in. It was his own wife, Melinda Gates, that cited that was one of the reasons why she could no longer remain married.
That whole association with Epstein and Gates it makes your skin crawl when you look into it. Have you delved into that? It's terrifying.
Oh, it's horrible. And of course, even the New York Times reported on this way back in 2011-12, where they were asking the same questions, how could this be? And Gates was, his original story was that he approached Epstein for philanthropic reasons, in other words, to find money and donations. And why would the world's then richest man, worth, you know, hundreds, or not hundreds, tens of billions of dollars at the time, need Epstein's few hundred million dollars or access to it? And how would he know that Epstein had all these connections and friends? None of it adds up, but clearly they were looking for people. Mm. Clearly they were looking for a type of person that would want to be involved. It's seriously shocking. Every revelation you look connected to Epstein is vile.
Yeah, all roads lead back to Epstein. But when you think about it, if they're trying to stop Trump from, you know, returning and running again, they're, you know, give them more rope.
Mm.
They're just doing the best job to hang themselves, because they're just making him look better and better every single day. And I think, you know, Biden, I mean, I don't know if you've seen the footage of him, can't even put a jacket on, and, you know, he's shaking hands with thin air, and the guy, it's actually elderly abuse. It's just awful to watch. But, you know, this is almost like a semblance of they're doing it on purpose. Surely,
yes.
You know, that it's very
You can't
odd.
Believe that the this could be, you can't, odd. Yeah, you can't believe that it's real. This is what the thing is. You're watching it and you shake your head every day. Am I watching a movie? Because it certainly feels like it. We're going to quickly pause for news headlines. So much more after this. You're on TNT Radio.
Matt Boyland here with a quick check of the day's headlines. Just 48 hours after the FBI raided his mansion in Florida, former US President Donald Trump has invoked his Fifth Amendment rights and refused to answer questions during a civil investigation into his family's business dealings. China says it's completed its military drills around Taiwan, but has vowed to step up patrols of the island. And Beijing has called out Washington for being the main instigator of the war in Ukraine and has accused the US of setting out to crush Russia.
Do you have a suggestion for a possible guest or host that you'd like to hear on TNT Radio? Or perhaps you have a topic you feel we should discuss? Then we want to hear from you. Simply complete the suggestion form on the TNT Radio website. Help us make a difference on TNT Radio.
Such a quick news break and we're back into it. It's an amazing time to be alive. There is nothing quite like what is going on out there at the moment. And if you were to just go to the betting agencies and have a look at what they're saying, they've got Donald Trump at $3.75 to be the next president of the United States in 2024, ahead of Ron DeSantis at $4 and Joe Biden at $6.50. So Joe Biden is trailing two separate Republican candidates. It's extraordinary. Hillary Clinton's down there at $41. She'll never die, consistently in there forever. Kamala Harris at $13. And the second highest of the Democrats is Gavin Newsom, the man who just recently changed the law for children having sexual relations with adults in gay relationships. So now you can give consent at 16, I believe, is how that works now in California. So he's the second favorite. Of course he is. That's how it goes. But what's interesting here, Catherine, is that the polling, you've got Trump 69% in the Republican as the preferred candidate ahead of Ron DeSantis at 24%, which shows that that's probably the strongest ticket, I would think, in the history of US politics, presidential campaigns. And at the same time, and that's just in the Republican movement, of course, Joe Biden rating at less than 38%, and some polls have him as low as 33%, just showing that how on the nose he is, and is now being discussed as the worst US president of all time. That means a whole lot to people. And this is the counter narrative to what we're saying, that the people aren't reading what's going on and just going on with it. Perhaps the polls are telling us something else.
Well, we all in agreeance that the media aren't telling us the truth, and I've always wondered about these, you know, polls. You know, these, everything needs to be questioned, basically. But, you know, hazard a guess, this is just my gut instinct, I think Joe's got one foot in the grave and the other on a banana skin, and I think he's probably going to topple down into, you know, a shallow ditch, or down a staircase, or up a staircase. It wouldn't surprise me if Camilla is, you know, becomes president by default, and then wouldn't that be a wonderful scenario with Trump? I mean, it'd be in the bag, the cackling hyena versus Trump. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I know. It's almost beyond a joke, and you can almost see it happening, can't you? Because everything seems so orchestrated and so predictable, I think that's probably the more apt term for what we're looking at. But if Biden keeps taking these vacations, obviously he's needing them for whatever reason. But in all honesty, it would not surprise me if he didn't come back from this one and he got sick and something else had happened and Kamala did take over. Though I have a feeling that they'll replace her before he goes in one way or another. So then you have a shock brand new president that gives a whole lot of support, therefore, to the Democratic Party in the lead up to these midterms. I mean, just imagine, for example, say Kamala, they decide to get rid of her. They say, oh, look, you know, the polls are bad, whatever. And they put they couldn't really put Gavin Newsom because he's currently the governor. They'd have to put an outsider. So it would have to be a Michelle Obama or a Hillary Clinton, somebody like that.
Oh, dear Lord.
And then, of course, and then Joe Biden goes down out of nowhere and all of a sudden Michelle Obama becomes the president within a week. I mean, you certainly could see them doing this. This is just how they play the game. And then you would have the great, oh, Michelle Obama, the greatest president of all time. She got elected like Obama was the greatest president of all time and won a Nobel Peace Prize just for being Obama. This would be the same mentality all over again.
Doesn't she? She ticks all the boxes. She's black.
Yeah.
She's trans.
Yep.
Politically, she's got it all going on, doesn't she? She's a woman. She's the ex first lady. Apparently she'll know what's going on. I mean, as you said, if this was a movie script, boy, wouldn't that be a doozy? I'd love that plot twist.
Look, there's just so much behind it all, and no one can believe anything anymore when it comes to this politics. It is all theatre. All the world is truly a stage. If we cross back to Australia and then head over the Tasman to New Zealand, we've got another election coming up with Jacinda Ardern, and her popularity has dropped to just 30%. This was a woman who was touted as the most popular New Zealand Prime Minister ever, and 3 years in or 2.5 years into COVID, and all of a sudden she's going out the back door. And I feel like the globalist, these World Economic Forum proteges are now facing the people, and it's not looking good for them, is it?
No, I think Jacinda is really, you know, going to have to face the music. But then, you know, they put these people in place, they do the damage, and then they get rid of them and they walk away. I mean, look at what's happened in Australia with, you know, Greg Hunter's done the damage and he's left, and then you've got, you know, Barilero, he's come in and, you know, basically shot everything to Billy O, and then he's jumped ship, and nothing ever seems to come about. You know, there's no repercussions. No. It's just like they just jump out, they get, you know, pocket a couple of cool million and still get a wage for the rest of their lives, and there's no repercussions whatsoever. It's crazy, but, you know, I do think that New Zealanders are, you know, as we discussed last week, people are seeing, you know, the impact of these so-called vaccines. Yep. And they're losing loved ones, they're losing members of the community. They can't have their heads in the sand for much longer. They have to see what's going on. And I think that it's just going to be a natural progression of, you know, the popularity. I mean, these people, even the other day, I don't know if you saw the footage of the gentleman trying to rip the doctor, his local doctor that gave one of his family members a jab. And, you know, the rage of that man, you know, and the fear of that doctor. And then there's another radio, I think it was an audio of a gentleman that lived in New Zealand but also worked in New York, and he called the local pharmacist after his wife took his child in and got the child jabbed, and now his child has myocarditis. Did you hear this footage?
Yes. Mike actually just played it in the last hour. It's truly astonishing, but it's the sentiment of so many people, isn't it? But what was shocking about it was the pharmacist's lackadaisy attitude, like, oh, well, why don't you just look up the information on the web? It's readily available. But hang on a second. He was challenging her on informed consent. Yes.
Yeah, no responsibility whatsoever, which is just awful when you think about it. I mean, that's your job. You are there to, you know, there's such a thing as informed consent for a reason. And it's very easy for us to sit here and say, you know, for those of us who are awake to all of this and have been for quite some time, you know, when you do have people that are a little, you know, let's just, for want of a better term, then normies, they're just watching Current Affair and Netflix and ordering their Uber Eats and going to work and coming home, and they believe what the media is telling them, and that there's no informed consent whatsoever that's telling you that there's possible side effects, that it was even, most of these people didn't even know that it was not approved. They didn't realise that it was a trial, which is unbelievable to me. I knew that from day one. Greg Hunt went on national TV, our health minister at the time, and said this is the world's biggest drug trial. And of course they need your consent for a drug trial. And everybody just rolled their sleeves out without any hesitation whatsoever. Some of them did it for a donut. And then when everybody started getting sick, myocarditis, pericarditis, strokes, heart attacks, they're normalizing it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right. I sometimes feel that people have this... And the reason I say that is because everyone has known someone who has had a shocking cancer and they needed a miracle cure. And it was the idea of this right to try, what we don't actually get in Australia on conventional medicines like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, can't have a right to try that. But there was always the idea, is there a miracle cure? Yeah, well, we can try this experimental chemo or this experimental this or that. And look, we were the same. When my mum got sick with terminal cancer, the professor offered her an experimental chemo, which was basically just shooting it directly into her heart, and it turned out that the bigger experiment that she took, which was to try some medicinal cannabis, was what actually extended her life and gave a quality of life. So all of us are looking for some form of experiment, but the idea that you're not sick and therefore you're going to line up for an experiment is that jumping of the shark, that bit where we've all gone that little bit too far. And I think that's the hardest. And therefore you're going to line up for an experiment is that jumping of the shark, that bit where we've all gone that little bit too far. And I think that's the hardest part for people to understand, that if they didn't get it, or maybe experimental experiments are okay, but the way that they did it, the way that they've got everyone to sort of not know that it was an experiment, like you said, we'll just shove it out there, like Fauci joking about that he created COVID. I mean, and the idea he's saying WA1.
Despicable. I couldn't believe, I actually heard you playing that while I was waiting earlier. I actually can't believe that, I mean, that's just pure evil stuff right there. If you had to write a movie script and, you know, it's like the, you know, Dr. Evil, $1 million, like it's hilarious. You know, this is genocide. Mm. How is that even remotely funny? This guy should be in jail.
And to think, I don't know if you're a medical administrator, skew if to be able to come out and say it. Even one person dying as a result of the vaccine, which he knows there has been, one person dying from COVID, which he certainly handled poorly and still behaved like that, to me is unacceptable on every single level. Fauci needs to be condemned for that forever.
Absolutely, and so does Arden. We're talking about the gaslighting that you and I had spoken of earlier in a recent radio show, but the gaslighting with Fauci, you know, he says one thing one week and then a couple of months later he absolutely contradicts himself. And, you know, people like the Ardens of the world, they're going to start to have to face the consequences of their actions as more people are waking up. And they are waking up. They're being forced to. They have to be forced to because of the carnage around them. There's only so long they can continue to pretend, you know, that it's just a conspiracy theory and this isn't really happening. Yes, this is happening. This is going to happen to pretty much everybody that's been jabbed. I mean, they've completely obliterated your immune system. So, you know, choose your poison. Well, and this is why we're seeing so many media articles about new and latest, you know, the polio is back. This is a new mutated form of COVID. This is long COVID. This is myocarditis. This is every, you know, what you can make the bed and die of a heart attack nowadays. I mean, it's just the media plays such a pivotal role in all of this, and particularly with people's decisions to be jabbed in the first place. It happened in a rush. There was hysteria. We had the lockdowns. We were forced to wear the masks for the visual effects and the psychology of it all. And everybody just bought it, hook, line, and sinker. It doesn't mean they necessarily deserved to you know, what's happening to them. But, you know, it's just, I wake up every day and it's like a dream. It's like a nightmare. That people haven't seen it. Very, very sad.
It certainly is. And just on going back to Greg Hunt for a moment, this is the Australia's former health minister from the previous government who announced his retirement prior to the election. In a puff piece just this week, he said that he was having a six-month sabbatical before determining what he was going to do next. Let's mark this moment right now and say, will he be taking up a job with the World Economic Forum to do Klaus Schwab's bidding? It seems it's an almost certainty. And like you said, they get this political free pass like Barilaro, like now Gladys Berejiklian, who had to resign over the nastiness of the grants going to her lover and face the ICAC, the Independent Commission Against Corruption. Well, just a few months down the track, they're asking her in further puff pieces about her return to politics. It's like, oh, well, you sat on the bench for your sin bin for 5 minutes, you went and got a $500,000 corporate job, but we'd like to have you back now because we can't cope with not having so-called recognisable brand names in politics because that's what we believe. All of it is pathetic. It's embarrassing that this...
I mean, you think about it, everybody that's got a trade, we're all held accountable when something goes wrong. We're all hauled into an NCAT or a VCAT or you know, whatever the recourse, there's recourse for you, whether you are a doctor or a pharmacist or whatever, there is recourse. What's the recourse for politicians? They can just do whatever they want.
And they literally get a free pass, yeah.
Absolutely. And this is why the law doesn't apply to them, because it actually doesn't.
This is what we've learned, isn't it, through all of this big battle, is that there are two sets of rules, one for me and one for thee. And of course, we've now learned that in the United States, they've just introduced in this new inflation reduction bill money for 87,000 new IRS staffers to become auditors who have to carry a gun. This is how far it's begun, how far it's going. And there you've got Biden and Pelosi, both octogenarians, applauding this. They won't be here long enough to see the errors of their ways, of the world that they've created, but they're happily going to do this and torture the people of their own country who they insist they must be there for decades to rule over. There is no other way to look at it. We're going to take a quick break. We come back more on the Jason Q Citizen and Friends program on TNT Radio.
The midterms and America votes on November 8th.
With his expert analysis and opinion,
this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
In a shocking abuse of its substantial police power, FBI agents last night raided Mar-a-Lago, the Palm Beach estate and primary residence of President Donald J. Trump, looking for 15 boxes of documents that the president had brought with him from the White House in January 2021. These documents are not anything new. They've been the subject of negotiations between the Trump team and the DOJ for a year and a half now. So why was the warrant executed yesterday? Indeed, why was the warrant executed at all? It turns out that Attorney General Merrick Garland and FBI Director Christopher Wray were briefed before the raid was conducted. This has Americans of all political stripes outraged. If they can do it to a former president, they can do it to us. Maybe that's what the 87,000 new IRS agents are for. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
In this day and age, everybody deserves the right to access phone and internet services. Whether you're from regional, rural or remote Australia, the Regional Tech Hub can independently assist with providing advice on connectivity options in your local area or work with you and your service provider to resolve outstanding issues with phone and internet. And our service is absolutely free. Find out more by visiting regionaltechhub.org.au or by calling 1300 081 029. RTH is an initiative of the Australian Government delivered by the NFF.
The common housefly, caught in the clutches of the spider's web. Every move it makes just makes matters worse. Then, dinner time.
Feast on the captivating stories, videos, and helpful information on our website.
Whoa.
Dinner's ready.
Oh, man.
Escape is futile.
Just one more video.
Get stuck in our web.
TNTradio.live.
Welcome back to the Jason Q Citizen and Friends program. Today we learn the tragic loss of Australian National Rugby League coach Paul Green. He played halfback for a number of different clubs. He played for the North Queensland, played for Brisbane, and he was also part of the Sydney Roosters premiership winning squad way back in 2002. He became a successful coach, a premiership winning coach, coached the Queensland State of Origin team before standing down for Billy Slater to take over. It was widely tipped that he would be returning to an NRL coaching job, and also was linked to the brand new Redcliffe Dolphins to start next year. He was 49 years of age, and of course his death was announced as merely a sudden death. Catherine, this is all too frequent and probably the first of the big names that we expected, as we called early in the season, that we may well lose this year, and sure enough we have. Does it mean that we're right, or does it mean that we're just morbid, horrible people?
I think both. I mean, I hate to say, you know, I expected it. I would like to think that I'm not a morbid, horrible person. I think I'm more of a realist. But knowing what is in that vaccine, so-called vaccine, from the day this landed, you know, this was not going to end well for anybody that's, you know, gotten jabbed, boosted. The more you have been jabbed, the more you have been boosted, the less immune system you have, the more you are at risk of heart failure, stroke, and we're seeing it all play out. I mean, statistically, how many middle-aged people that are prominent, by the way, you know, are just dropping like flies? How is this even remotely normalised? You know, even if you are following the mainstream media, it's like every day it's another middle-aged person that should be with us. I mean, I can't remember. This is unprecedented, yes. The amount of people that you know, every day in the media, someone else has died. I've never seen anything like it.
It's quite incredible.
Extraordinary.
Look, there is already unconfirmed reports now. They're saying that he may have committed suicide. However, it's a funny thing because they're talking about a post-mortem needing to be conducted. And yet when that beautiful lady, Erin, the fitness lady, lost her life a little while ago, a few weeks back. She was the lady
from...
She was
only young and fit too.
Yeah, and they did say that that was a suicide as well. And yet in the reporting, they put the lifeline thing down the bottom there where they always make reference to it. But look, these stories are just tragic, and it doesn't matter the cause of death. Why are successful 49-year-old people dying who are fit, healthy and seemingly happy and having the time of their life? They're just shocking stories that that we seem to devalue life today. All of a sudden, a young person's life is not worth as much as an old person's life. We've been brainwashed for 3 years that we've got to protect people who've reached life expectancy, and good luck to us for respecting the our elders. But why do we not have the same respect for young people, and in particular children, when we know statistically that they've got no chance of dying from COVID when they're under the age of 29, and yet we insist on putting their lives at risk? I can't work this out. I can't work out why we've just detached from it all, and yet we virtue signal upwards.
From day one, I've never understood if this was, nobody was at risk unless you were elderly or immunocompromised. Those people should have been protected. They should have taken measures themselves to protect themselves. They should have stayed at home. They should have worn masks. I mean, you know, it's easy for me to say in a way, because I've got a son who's had, you know, health issues and is immunocompromised since the age of 4. I didn't treat him like a bubble boy. I didn't run around town screaming at everybody to stay away from him. I remember having a next-door neighbour that had a kid that had whooping cough that came into the house when I was pregnant with my third, and with my son having no immune system, And I knew immediately from the cough it was whooping cough, you know, but you can't live your life like that. These people should have been protected, and that should have been the end of it. It's always been a 99.8% recovery rate unless you're very elderly and ill, and that's still the case. And yes. I don't understand why people didn't see that from day one. Everybody just got hooked into this media circus, and they lost their minds.
And their self-responsibility, which is the bigger part of it. And now we're learning that the next stage of this is massive reporting now of long COVID. This has now become the new thing to bring about to find yet another set of victims. And what irks me about long COVID is this is and I want to speak to doctors, obviously, to verify it, but this is what I'm going to postulate, because Dr. Zelenko already produced the studies on it. Out of 3,000 patients, when he was interviewed, he had 2,997, all surviving. He lost 3 out of 3,000, all of whom were classified as high-risk patients, whether they're immunocompromised, comorbidities, or elderly. They were the only people that he gave this protocol to, which was zinc, vitamin D, and hydroxychloroquine or quercetin, where it wasn't available. And, of course, azithromycin was the antibiotic he provided once diagnosed. And this resulted in the 2,997 high-risk patients surviving out of 3,000. When interviewed 12 months later about those survivors, how many had long COVID, he said zero, not one of my patients. So clearly that is enough anecdotal evidence to warrant a study to say, well, if you'd boosted your immune system at the time, you wouldn't therefore have this problem. And now we know that when people got diagnosed with COVID all the way through, the only instruction they were given was to go home, isolate, and they weren't even told to take Panadol. They were basically told,
well,
come back when you can't breathe.
At that time. Most of them didn't have any symptoms at that time either, did they? But, you know, let's call the elephant in the room here. Long COVID is you don't have an immune system. Your immune system's shot. Yeah. I mean, they're likening it to chronic fatigue, but there's no cure for chronic fatigue. There's no cure or treatment for, you know, and the symptoms are trouble sleeping, brain fog, tiredness, sore throat, depression. This is all immune-compromised outcomes. And long COVID is BS. I'm sorry, I've got to call it out. I don't believe in it. I think it's absolutely BS, and I think it's absolutely linked to the vaccine. End of story. And the rest is just hyperbole.
Cynical with all of this for multiple reasons. And this is where we look at it and go, well, if you have an immune problem, there are ways to support your immune system. There are vitamins that you can take, and there is obviously a better way to improve your body through healthier eating and exercise, etc. But of course,
natural
you can't eat anything anymore because everything's being poisoned.
And
this is where it becomes obvious.
Yeah, let's just, you know, in a nutshell, your immune system's been shot. The more shots you've had, the more shot it is. You need to look at your immune system and do everything you possibly can to eliminate the gunk out of your body and support your immune system. So, you know, anything like, simple things, turmeric, black seed oil, you know, things that have been around for, tried and tested for literally thousands of years. You know, these are going to have to be the go-tos to come back to, because more big pharma isn't going to fix this. It's going to make it worse. I mean, even there's a whole another, you know, can of worms to open and discuss in reference to antibiotics and how they completely shoot your gut health out.
Yes. That's right, isn't it? Because an antibiotic versus a probiotic, one builds bacteria, one takes it away. And yet when you keep defeating the body, it's got to be have a way to build itself up. And so everyone would to work out new ways of, old ways of boosting the system. It just feels like it's just yet another challenge for many people. It all becomes a little bit too hard. But if life is that hard for you, well, then you are going to follow on what you're told to do. And this is the reason why people struggle so much. I guess a quick trip to the shops reveals who's wearing the masks and who isn't. And it certainly tells a whole lot about humanity now that the mask wearing has become, let's say, voluntary, although the politicians are certainly trying to cover their bases. And we see in Parliament House, one side wears them and one side doesn't. Mm-hmm. Catherine, we've reached the end of the hour.
I look at it like they're cult members. Who's in the cult and who's not in the cult? But yeah, thank you so much, Jason.
Yeah, look, it's been terrific to speak to you again, and so much going on in the world, and keep up the good work out there in the world, and the reporting and the public relations, because we all need to be able to be served up the right information, and that's where you're going to find it here on TNT Radio, News Next, and a lot more after the break.